Digital 410 Productions proudly presents the What's in Your Head podcast.
Digitized live from
your company name here. Your
studios in Cape Coral, Florida. It's the What's in Your Head podcast.
What's up, OG5? Welcome to another episode of the What's in Your Head podcast. Boy, what a fucking day, right, fellas?
Ugh.
Tragic.
Morgan beat me to the punch. I was too busy basking in the afterglow of getting a mention on a huge fitness influencer's YouTube video that I didn't expect.
Also, before I start this set, Donovan, 410, IT guy and hybrid athlete, is the first person to put their profile photo on the Daily Cardio. So now I know what he looks like. It looks like a tank.
And Morgan's like, yeah, Charlie Kirk got shot. Now, based off of my not-so-official radio media training, I did what I was trained to do and look for multiple sources, especially nowadays. And so I Googled it on my phone. And nothing came up at first, but then I realized autocorrect changed shot to shit, you know, because, you know, Google, that's Google, right? Charlie Kirk got shot. I look down, it's Charlie Kirk is shit. And it's all these posts, oh, Charlie Kirk sucks. I'm like, and I didn't realize at first. And I'm like, Morgan, fake news. I'm not seeing it anywhere. And then, that's before I realized it said was shit. And I'm like, oh, fucking Google. So I deleted this shit and put got shot. And lo and behold, the content came up. So I started watching the news footage on that. And at the time, they were showing an older white-haired, bald-headed dude, looked like in his mid-60s, getting tackled to the ground. I'm like, oh, fuck. Clearly, it's the guy who shot him. Why else would you be tackling this guy down on the ground? Turns out that guy was apprehended, but has been since let go. They believe now it was a rifle shot of roughly 222 yards away. Let me say this. I know we got some new audience here. Let me just throw this out there. The What's the Scuttlebutt has always been about freedom of speech. With that being said, we talk about things that people politicize or that could be politicized, but we don't talk politics here. We never sit down and say, boy, did you guys see the C-SPAN last night? Or did you see what so-and-so said? Or, you know, unless it's in, you know, general conversation because somebody made a true ass of themselves. We're never really, you know, we don't dig into politics or, you know, believe this and that. But we talk about stuff that can be political. And so even if you're not a Charlie Kirk fan, even if you hate what he said, what happened today is more than just somebody getting fucking assassinated. Mike, do you have the ability to type while we're on here, or is your Zoom image in the way?
I do have the ability to type.
Go to whatever chat you have access to. I was trying to find this information in real time while standing in line at Firehouse Subs. Mm-hmm. Find out the last time someone was successfully assassinated for political speech or freedom of thought. We know that Trump got shot at twice. The last person I can think of, and Morgan, you might be able to, last person I can think of was RFK. I mean, clearly, Martin Luther King, but that was before RFK. RFK, I think, was the last person in modern times who was successfully assassinated for political speech. Now, while Mike's looking up that information, I just want to put this out there for our new audience. If you're not familiar with who Charlie Kirk is or what he did, he was a conservative activist. I think he started Turning Point like at 18. But more importantly, what separated him from every other talking head out there is, one, he would actively go to places and, unlike everybody else, go up to places and sit up at a pedestal and espouse his thoughts and beliefs. And then when you try to say something, shut you down, do a 2-hour speech and walk out of there and charge some money. He would go into places where he knew that people actively and angrily disagreed with his viewpoints, presented his viewpoints, and then asked them, as long as they stayed respectful, didn't start espousing false narratives, and you know, and had a a respectful conversation. He would invite people to come present their opposing views, talk about it like two adults, thank one each other. And if somebody in the crowd starts making fun of the kid he's talking to, he tells them to shut up. You know, this guy's brave enough. And he had open debate. Morgan, I think last week's episode you asked, do you think we should bring back civics class?
Yes.
I'm sure some schools still do. I know it was kind of getting phased out when I was in school in the 90s, but some schools had it as an elective. But we all kind of considered it something that the nerds did. But that was either debate team or, ironically, from the topic I was talking about, I just slipped my mind. Critical thinking. There you go. They offered critical thinking classes, and a lot of people participated in those. That is basically what Charlie Kirk did, right? He went out there, held a debate with people publicly, encouraged critical thinking. The whole concept of critical thinking is you may have an idea, a thought, a belief, an ideology, but if you talk to somebody else who presents good conflicting information, if you're intellectually honest, you will listen to what they're saying and either reinforce your ideas that you went into that debate with, or realize the flaw in your logic and maybe take on a little bit of their logic to better yourself, better your mind, and make your knowledge base stronger. And he is the only one out there, right, left, independent, that I can think of, at least that made it to his level, that who did this. Everybody else, doesn't matter if you're Republican or conservative, socialist, a communist, a libertarian, most talking heads to those groups will present their ideas, and then when somebody else comes along, they'll talk over them and kind of shut them down. What happened today, and if you think about it, it's almost, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, I've been bombarding your TikTok inboxes with what's happening on over in Nepal.
For a while, the mood felt united, powerful, but by night, it shifted. Hotel shops were looted and set on fire.
Have you seen those clips?
Oh,
all
yeah.
Around the world right now, people are literally actively fighting for freedom of speech. In Nepal, for what you guys, if you guys don't know, recently in their social media, and we've heard a little bit here too, the kind of the trending thing for a while, it was gaslight was the thing everybody talked about, but now it's nepo babies, right? The big thing is nepotism and how nepotism is bad, which trust me, I worked in radio for a small family. I know what nepotism is. I've seen it firsthand. And so I'm not a fan of nepotism, but what happened in Nepal is all their pillars of their community or the people in power, people started doing videos about their kids and calling them nepo babies and this and that. And people start saying, And so what they did, as all governments tend to do, they said, well, let's just get rid of the problem. What's that? You're going to fire your son? No, silly. We're going to ban YouTube, WhatsApp, Instagram, Twitter, the whole nine. Basically, all social media platforms, including YouTube, they just firewalled. So if you're in the confines of that country, no access. Your phone's just like, sorry, 404 doesn't exist. Now, they're giving it credits to the Gen Z, but I'm sure there's some Gen Xers involved. Their entire youth got up and literally burnt the fucking place down to the fact where their prime minister just resigned. 20 people have been killed because their government started fighting their protesters with live ammo. So these kids are going out and demanding freedom of speech, which is what I'm getting to the fact that they're dying in Nepal right now. Yesterday, I think the body count was 20 protesters were shot. They have since burned down the prime minister's building. They burned down his personal home. There is riots across their nation because people are waking up to freedom of speech. I mentioned the UK earlier. They have a huge issue right now, which has been building up for years. I think now they're not getting long prison sentences. They're basically being arrested, going to court, and being kicked free. However, that's still on your record and it's still money. I think they're averaging 12,000 people a year get arrested for things they say on Facebook. So right now, across the world, there's a huge battle to preserve or reattain freedom of speech. Now, we had a huge crackdown on freedom of speech here over the last 8 years or so. It's finally getting cleaned up. This particular podcast has had multiple episodes taken offline. We've been redacted from stuff. My point being is, what happened with Charlie Kirk today? is a true definition of attack on freedom of speech. Because as I pointed out, this guy wasn't the type of person who would talk over you and belittle you. Yeah, he was passionate about his views, and you may not believe in them, but he allowed you to come down there and tell him why you thought he sucked, and he welcomed it. Somebody shot him for that. He wasn't a politician. He wasn't a lawmaker. He wasn't this and wasn't that. He was a guy who expressed his opinions. And yes, he knew Trump and he made his way into conservatives. But my point being is the man literally got shot in the fucking throat today for his beliefs at an event where he welcomed in opposing views. And I will say I've spent the last 4 hours watching the news. I watch CBS News, I watch NBC News, not MSNBC or whatever they're calling MS now, but the actual legit news. And everybody's on the same page. Everybody's being fucking respectful. Shout out to Greg Gutfeld for saying you woke us the fuck up without being censored on the Five today. I saw that clip. I've only seen one semi-disgusting clip. And of course it was from, I just saw on TikTok, I think it was from CNN. Actually, I don't want to misrepresent CNN, even though they would deserve it. Let me just check because I liked it.
Was it the MSNBC one?
It may have been. Basically, they have somebody on their, they got their anchor desk. They're throwing away to their expert. And he said, the details aren't yet out. It could possibly have been a supporter who's excited, who fired his gun in the air in celebration. He actually said that on live news.
I saw that. That's ridiculous. You don't make
moron.
a 200 fucking.
Well, this is before that hypothesis came out. Let's all be honest. When I first saw the video, I thought he got shot by a pistol too, especially when I saw the old man tackled to the ground. So it was before the information about the high, you know, the, looks like 230 yards, but even still, what kind of, yeah, because people with firearms, you know, we just run into an open college and woohoo, shoot guns in the air. No.
When you said that and I watched it.
Which one? The last one or the first two?
No, the...
The no, gory one?
The gory one. Where you could actually see everything. When you said that and I watched it, prior to starting the show, I always thought it was a rifle. I had no...
Sure.
I had no... thought that it always felt like it was a rifle. It to me, it sounded more like a rifle.
Yeah.
It sounded like it was further away. And just the,
well, the clips I heard, I was listening to my phone at work, so I didn't
know. Right. Exactly, right.
But anyway, go ahead.
I was listening to it on my phone too.
Gotcha.
But I mean, it just, the trajectory, the impact, you know, his reaction.
Well, that in the first video I saw when I was talking to you guys about it was the video from that was filmed up on top of the building where they zoomed in on TikTok. And so, and mm-hmm. then it wasn't until I was at home and I was watching CBS and their experts said, you know, after I witnessed the video multiple times and saw the amount of blood coming out, I knew it was a 30-06 or, you know, or a large caliber rifle. I looked at Karen, I'm like, what video did he see? And Karen's like, oh, you haven't seen that one? It's on my step yeah. page. And I went, yeah,
it
that
was
one,
a big hole. Yeah.
That was a game changer.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this before the show. If you're the type of person who likes gory videos, you got something wrong with you. Don't go out and watch it. If you're like me and someone says, hey, this video is out there where you can see all the full detail, and your first instinct is, I don't want to fucking see that, you need to go see it. Because A, you're a good human being because you don't want to see it. And B, if you do see it, it puts in full color how violent this fucking act was.
Yeah.
I think if you just hear all the guy got shot, your preconceived notions of what movies display on what violence is, or, you know, you might see news clips where they'll show a car with some blood on it. You watch that clip, you see I was about to say that. I saw that and I was like, he was dead before he got to the hospital. You saw the life fall out of him.
Yeah.
And if more people see that, they will be pissed, regardless if they like the guy and his views or not. And today was a huge hit for freedom of speech. Because that's what that is. That's somebody, whether it's a lone gunman who's a nut, or if you're on the side where you believe that there's a larger group out there who's trying to control things and shut down thought. That was somebody, whether it was a group or an individual, actively trying to say, hey, shut the fuck up or you're next.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that is an assault on freedom of speech.
Right. And not, you know, when making the comment of, you know, watching somebody die, plenty of people see people die all the time. You know, you the tragic situation where you have to pull a family member off a life support or something like that.
Sure.
This is a whole different kind of animal when you're talking about death and when you watch, I've seen some pretty messed up shit. Like, you know, you get to a point where you're so desensitized by it, it's just like, you know.
And to that point, I actively did not watch the Ukrainian girl get stabbed in the neck. I had no desire to watch that.
Nope. I didn't even like the censored version.
No.
Which there was one video where it stopped right before he got to her, and then all you saw was him walking on the other side of the train car with blood, you know, pouring. And I didn't even want to see that.
My whole thing is, I'll take your word for it.
Right.
I don't want to see it. I don't want to have that in my head. This to me, I think this to me kind of is PTSD of the early 2000s when somebody showed me the Daniel Pearl journalist beheading video from the Middle East, where they literally opened them up like they were opening a bass. That was the last video I ever had. So whenever this kind of stuff comes out, I'm like, I'm good. I'll take your word for it. I don't need to see it. This, I almost think you need to see, just to drive home how serious of an issue this is and the level of violence that we've gotten to in a quick, it's been boiling for years, but let's be honest, since the last 12 months or so, things are getting a little fucking out of control.
Yeah. You wanted to know.
Yeah. The last time in modern history, a political person, politician, or just
an activist,
somebody who has been put in the papers for their views, was assassinated.
So I went to ChatGPT for this. And I said, can you give me a list of political assassinations? It gave me a list. And then I kind of further, refined it, only in the United States, blah, blah, blah. Cause it would give you, you know, all kinds. So basically, I'll start with, they immediately, Charlie Kirk is right on there.
Sure.
Because it's being labeled as a political assassination.
Exactly what it is. It's exactly
right. Right. Still under investigation. There was another one this year, Melissa Hortman and her husband.
Okay.
The Minnesota House Speaker.
Now, I know technically that's an assassination, right?
It was considered politically motivated, and it,
I guess,
anti-Democrat.
In my mind, I think when I think assassination, I think public attempt on someone's life. I'm not taking.
Right.
I'm definitely not taking away the loss of that family. Okay. That one didn't occur to me because and that's just politicians who were killed by a psychopath. Versus to me, assassination means we're sending a message, which I'm sure there are going to be made in that case. A message was being sent.
Murder versus an assassination. Like, I can understand your point with that.
Yeah, but so there, that would be, and that was what, 4 months ago?
Give or take. It doesn't give me.
Yeah, so that's within, like we're saying, the last 12 month timeline, that shit's getting crazy.
This is just state and local politicians, sure, by the way. Prior to that, 1978, Harvey Milk.
Okay, I was born in 1978. I'm 47. Mm-hmm. So it took 47 years for political assassination, even on the local level, with that poor young, you know, that husband and wife who were congressmen, or were they state representatives?
House speakers.
Minnesota
House speakers. Melissa Hortman and her husband.
And they're Minnesota. So that, let me guess, were the Democrats?
Yes.
So that goes to show you, we're not sides here.
Right. It was an anti-Democrat, politically motivated. That's
what. So you got a nutball, hardcore, right-leaning guy went nuts.
Vance Boelter?
Okay.
Vance Boelter was the person, I guess,
1978.
charged or accused or whatever. He is labeled as the assassin here.
Who did he kill? Who did he kill in
That was the
1978?
Melissa. That was Melissa Hortman. It was Harvey Milk in 1978, and that was Dan White, who was a former colleague of his.
What was Harvey Milk's deal? Was he a religious
He
person?
was a San
no, he was
Francisco
like a gay
supervisor.
activist.
Yes, he
Okay.
was a personal and political. The motive was personal and political tension, and anti-gay sentiments were likely a factor. Harvey Milk was a very heavily gay, openly gay man
Now, this
in
falls in
that
line.
time, which was not widely accepted at. My ex-wife, her aunt is gay, and I don't know if they're married or not, but she's been with a woman as long as I've known them, which has been going on 15, 20 years. Her parents, my ex-wife's grandparents, are extremely religious, living in the Bible Belt in North Carolina, and their daughter ended up being a lesbian and ended up, getting with a woman. So, I mean, the kind of turmoil that they, face too. Same kind of scenario and situation to be
And
in.
to put it in
So,
perspective, I'm not going to
right. That's how alienated it was at that time, and
family.
not, it was very like taboo and like not accepted at all. Even 20 years, I mean, now it's obviously, if you're gay, nobody gives a shit. But 20 years ago, if you were gay, nobody really cared that much.
26 years ago in Ohio, if you're a young 16-year-old high schooler with both ears pierced and long hair, you got to ask questions. Ask me how I know. Because I got both my ears pierced in 1996 and I had long hair. Morgan can tell you this. Hey, Morgan, I don't know, 1984, if you're a straight man, which ear did you get pierced?
You're left.
Why is that?
Because you were
We had
gay,
some
you got
weird
your right
social
ear pierced.
construct that if your right ear was pierced, you're a homo, or if you're but so imagine growing up in a time where someone made fun
That's my
suggested
left
that possibly you're gay because your right ear was pierced.
My right ear is not pierced. My left one is pierced.
Yeah.
And just to put
Yeah,
that
mine
into
too.
perspective, I went to
Well,
New
I'm
York.
super gay because I had two in each ear and my fucking cartilage pierced and my tongue done. All my friends went tattoos. I was the piercing guy. I had my tongue pierced from the age of 16 until the day I started working in radio at fucking 35. I took it out because I didn't want it clicking on the air. I literally had my tongue pierced my 16th birthday and I took it out the day I walked into Stan and Haney. That's how long I had it done. And I took my ears out shortly after that. I took my earrings out about a year later, not for any reason other than I was like, I've looked like this for fucking 17 years. I want to change a pair. So I took them out.
See, I got it was 2005. We went to Manhattan for a well, we went to New Jersey for a family reunion, and then we went to Manhattan one day. And that was where I got my ear pierced. And I remember my parents asked me, like,
He went to fucking Manhattan. Didn't go to Claire's at the mall. He went to like the
No.
dirtiest tourist
I
trap.
went to a tattoo shop in fucking Manhattan. But I remember, and my dad was born in 61. So, it was a whole different, and his parents were born in the, my grandfather was born in 1919. My grandmother was born in 1920. He was raised by the greatest generation. My dad was a boomer, Right. He was 31 when I was born. So there's a lot of, generational gap, between, like, my great grandparents are the ones that came over here from Italy on the boat, So he was the one actually that was like, explaining to me, like, 'cause I didn't know anything at the time. And it was, so he was like, yeah, you got to get your left ear pierced, because if you don't, they'll think you're gay.
Want me to
I
blow your
was like,
mind?
really?
Yeah. Oh, that was a thing. Oh, yeah.
That was in 2005.
Now imagine being in Kentucky and Ohio in 1992, 93. Yeah. I'm gonna blow your mind. Your great grandparents or your grandma? Was it your grandma?
Was what?
1821?
1920 is my grandmother, yes.
30 years, which we all can attest is not a long time. 30 years ago, I graduated high school. 30 years prior to your grandmother, not your great great grandmother, your grandmother, mm-hmm. Billy the Kid died.
Yeah.
If he wouldn't have got shot, your grandmother and Billy the Kid would have coexisted on the same timeline.
Yep. That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking wild. And
well, you really just want to blow your mind. Look at all the stuff that happened in Betty White's lifetime.
Right.
I saw a whole, you know, what whole would, breakdown.
She, how old was she? 99?
She was older than sliced bread.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It's
literally.
Crazy.
Okay. I got it for you. Your grandmother was 8 years old when Wyatt Earp died.
My grandmother?
He died in 1929.
Holy shit.
Your grandma was a preteen. Actually, in those days, she's about probably ready to get married.
Yeah.
Because especially with social media, kids got married at 12. Yeah. Your
my grandparents made it 65 years, I think, together. So they were married for 65 years.
Yeah. So your grandma. And your grandfather and mine. My grandfather was born in 23.
Yeah.
All of our grandparents were alive when Wyatt Earp died. For those who don't know, that's the guy from the movie Tombstone.
Yeah.
Cowboys and Indian. Okay, Corral.
Yep.
So that makes you realize how not long ago that was.
Yeah.
I'm not talking my great, great, great. No. The lady I went to Christmas in the basement, she was probably six when Wyatt Earp died.
Yep. My grandfather.
So while we're talking about longevity of marriage, tomorrow I'll have been married 32 years.
Yay!
To the same woman.
Are you planning on getting divorced?
Yeah, you said I'll have been.
You said I would have been married for years. Like,
no, wait,
is everything okay?
Just signed the paperwork today, boys. Tomorrow I would have been married 30 years.
I'll have been married tomorrow, 32 years.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, and it's really interesting, you know, that it coincides with 9/11. Of course, it was my day first. But the only anniversary that I ever almost forgot was 2001. And we both looked at each other about 10 o'clock at night on the east or on the west coast and said, oh, hey, happy anniversary, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not really
not much of a joyous occasion that day.
Yeah. And imagine the kids that, you know, had birthdays and stuff, you know, September 11th is their birthday, you know, or like the kids.
Not only was September 11th, my nephew was born 3 hours after the tower fell on 9/11.
Yeah.
We know how shitty kids are. He hated his birthday because in middle school, the bullies would tell him you're the son of the devil because you were born on 9/11.
Yeah.
Would get made fun of and chastised for the day he was born as if he had a choice.
Right. I even would even feel bad for the kids that were born like in 2000 or 1999 or something because September 11, 2001, the entire world just stopped. Didn't matter if you it's your birthday, fuck you. This is way more important right now. And that's horrible. Sure. That's a horrible truth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was one more on that list.
Go ahead.
2003.
Okay.
Tom Wales, who's a federal prosecutor and gun control advocate.
Hold on, was he shot at the softball game?
I'm not sure, but it is a cold case.
No, that was Steve Scalise.
It's not a cold case, but the case is still open and they don't know who killed him, but it's believed to be linked to gun policy.
Now, because that one just came to my mind. I guess that was a past assassination attempt too. The Republican Congress.
It was the congressional softball game.
Yeah, they used to have a congressional softball game where the Democrats would have a team, Republicans, and some dude showed up and started shooting up the place.
Yeah, shot Steve Scalise, who I can't remember what position he held, but he was like, you know, he was on a committee of some kind, or he was the Speaker of the House or something. But I think he was the only one that actually got hit.
Let me see if I can.
June 14, 2017, a man named James T. Hodkins opened fire at a Republican congressional baseball practice at Eugene Simpson Stadium Park in Alexandria. He wounded House Majority Whip Steve Scalise. There you go.
Okay.
Along with four other two Capitol police officers, a lobbyist, and congressional aide before being killed by police officers. This event occurred during a baseball practice, not softball. My bad. Sorry, chat. For an annual congressional baseball game for charity. So, yeah, 2017. I guess that would rank up as assassination as well, or assassination attempt.
See that? Yeah, that didn't show because this is actual assassinations, yep. But it says U.S. political assassination in the United States. It was two in 2025, 2003, 1978, 1968, 1968, 1964, 63, 63, 1901, and 1890.
So we're reliving the 60s right now.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like because that's, I mean, that's a lot of.
You had a lot of
activism and stuff right now that was happening at that time, too.
So I'm kind of concerned. Something that kind of.
Lean into your mic a little bit. You sound like you're 10 feet. Thank you.
So something I thought about today is, and I'll kind of pose it as a question. Is this the end of polite society where we can all peacefully disagree, or have we set a precedent today where I don't like you or what you had to say, so therefore you're less valuable than me and I can take your life?
Hold on, your questions, the way you worded them, sound like the same question. Your first one said, is this the end of polite society? Or the follow-up would basically
it is,
be...
It is the same question.
I want to propose a third question. Is it what Morgan said, this is the end of polite society where we can no longer agree with each other, or is this going to be the great reset we need to realize shit's gotten out of hand and that people should be able to speak opposing views? Because despite the fact that we just mentioned people dying in the 60s, in the 50s and 40s and 60s, a lot of people still held the opinion that we need to bring back, that we have freedom of speech. You have the right to say what you want. I have the right to say what I want. You have the right to piss me off. But if someone else comes along to tell you, you can't say the shit that pisses me off, I will stand by your side for your right to say the shit that pisses me off. And hopefully we're going to get back to that point. But I don't know.
Well, that's been my position all along. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff out there that I just find horribly offensive and evil, but I'll definitely defend somebody's right to say whatever they feel.
And that's why if anybody's ever out there seen my social media post where someone's ragging on me, I'll either give it a thumbs up and a like and a laugh. I don't delete negative comments about my, unless it's racist or, you know, homophobic or anti-Semitic, then I'll delete it. But if someone's talking shit about me or my opinion, I usually give it a heart or a thumbs up and just say preach or whatever, and I don't delete stuff because they have, if I'm going to put something out there, you're more than welcome to tell me I suck, and I'll give you a thumbs up and a like. I'm not going to delete it. I'm not going to hide it from people because that's the way things work, right? You put your ideas out there, you're supposed to be welcoming people to either accept them, applaud them, or tell you suck. That's the way it is. And it'll be real interesting to see, hopefully. I can just see Trump in some room right now saying, find out who the fuck did this. But hopefully we find out who did this. And I think it'll be interesting to find out if it's going to be one of those straight, clear-cut, this guy's a psychopath, or if it's going to be kind of like some of the other ones where, oh, this guy showed up in BlackRock videos 20 years. I mean, not BlackRock, but State Street or whoever the assassinated attempt guy, the Trump kid, you know, he had this weird, mysterious background where he had kind of weird associations with some extremist groups. It'll be interesting to see if this person is just a nut or if something more nefarious is involved. And the way shit's been going lately, I'm putting my tinfoil cap in the nefarious department, but that remains to be seen.
Well, all I can say is that the police hopefully will get to him before Charlie Kirk supporters do. Because
nothing will be learned from that person dying. With that being said, And I said this earlier, and this will be the controversial part of the statement. Once this person is found, tried, and found guilty, public hanging in the fucking town square.
Oh, I'm with you.
Why? Because maybe if we actually see that shit in 4K and 8K on every video platform, the next person's like, huh, that doesn't look fun. Maybe I'll throw my manifesto away and go get me a job.
Well, that's, I think there's a couple of issues that I personally think are going on here. Number one, society is angry. Society is very, very angry today. Doesn't matter what side you choose. It doesn't matter what you believe in. Society is just angry.
Yeah, you can post I like strawberry pop tarts and you'll get somebody so offended calling you a fucking Nazi because they're a blueberry guy.
Right,
It's
right.
insane.
It so much of and also anonymity.
And then anonymity.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Anonymity.
Anonymity.
Yeah, that. The internet ruined a lot of it. Being desensitized, like we were just talking about it, a few minutes ago. I mean, the internet desensitized all of us. All of the, like you were just talking about Daniel
Pearl video.
Pearl, being, the public execution and beheading of him on, what was it, Live Leak at the time or something like that, or probably before Live Leak.
Yeah, it was like on rotten.com. You really had to
Right,
scroll it.
right. Orgish.com, all those websites and stuff like that from back in the day where you could just find all that shit. Prior to the internet, we didn't see stuff like that. We
Unless you had a real fucking kink and went digging for it.
I mean, you had to, but I mean, you had to
Faces of Death.
really try. You had to really, But you really had to try. But I think society is very, very angry, especially in the United States right now because of the things that are going on. People love to disagree. People love to prove that they're right.
I think there's a proportion, like an ever-growing proportion, and this is scary, of people who need drama, whether it's full-blown violence or just, I mean, look how much content. And I used to talk about this in the past. And Carrie would have somebody screaming on her phone. I'm like, what's going on? I don't know. This girl's complaining about this other TikTok. I'm like, do you follow? No. I said, well, you've been watching her live for 20 minutes. How do you care about two people you don't even follow? She just likes the drama. And that innocent drama, that's spilling the tea. But then there's people who, depending on their anger level, it just gets worse and worse. And it's like, not to sound cliche or redundant, but go outside.
Well,
Put your fucking phone down and go outside.
people want the violence because people want something to talk about. And there was something that I heard, it was actually in a song, and then I actually heard the actual speech about it, but people it was it doesn't necessarily really tie into this, and I'm trying to, it's not exactly what it said, but it was something about people would rather put time and effort into reliving memories in the photographs than enjoying the actual event at the time. And I think people like drama and, people like violence and they like to be able to relive stuff like that. We're talking about it in a podcast right now,
So
where,
it's interesting that you bring that up
yeah.
because it took me a lot of years after growing up in a chaotic environment
Right.
where there was a lot of physical violence and verbal abuse,
Sure.
and I didn't know how to function in an
Right.
environment where that didn't exist.
Right.
And it did. It took me a long time to realize that what I experienced wasn't normal
Right.
and how to deal in normal society. And
And
I think that we've it, you know, I mean, of course, I hate to bag on the internet because, that's us right now.
yeah.
But we fostered an environment where people can't sit in the quiet.
Right.
They
There always
don't
has to be
how to
noise.
function without, without their emotional support TV.
Right.
We need to come up with a phrase, because you're right, we are the internet. But there's two internets. There's people like us who talk about subjects like this, and then there's people who sit on YouTube live streams of news feeds talking about people dying and saying the most abhorrent, gross, grotesque.
Oh.
And I'm sure a lot of them are 10, 11 years old, but there's some 30-year-olds out there saying the world's worst shit. It's like, do you really feel this, or are you just looking for a dopamine hit? Because if you truly feel this way, you gotta see some, you need to, you need some fucking help.
And a
And
lot
that's
of
the
it
internet.
is,
That's the internet I'm talking about. There are some
yeah,
fucking people out there.
absolutely, absolutely. That's, I think
Yeah.
we can all agree on that. I mean, there,
Well,
it's
just
just
the,
a lot of
yeah.
it is gut.
The disgusting stuff that I saw some of on TikTok,
Yeah.
of people celebrating Charlie Kirk getting shot.
Right.
And it's like, and the thing that's lost in this is, Charlie Kirk was, he knew the risk he was taking. Where I feel horrible. And the other thing too is being a Christian, I believe that he's got it really good right now.
Yeah.
So I'm not sad for him. I'm sad for the widow and the two orphans that were created today.
Yeah.
These little babies that are going to grow up without a dad
One in
because
three,
some
I think.
asshole
I think are the ages.
because some asshole couldn't control his anger over somebody having a different opinion.
Or
Think
some
about that.
asshole got hired to take out
Right.
somebody who had conflicting opinions with a bigger group of people.
And think about that for that next generation, where they're going to go, wow, if I speak up for myself or if I have anything to say, I could get killed.
Next generation, shit. Think about for the person who wanted to have a speech 6 months from now.
But I'm saying, like, his kids
Yeah.
in particular, where they're going to grow up in their generation, and everything that he spoke on and everything that he believed in and pushed out there and the way that he did it. Now they're going to grow up and unfortunately they're going to see the shitty side of the internet where they're going to have to relive that all the time. Because
Well, I just pray that
it's going to be associated with them for the rest of their lives.
I pray that they grow up like RFK Jr. did.
Yeah.
His outspokenness now is, basically fostered by his father getting assassinated for speaking out on what he believed.
Right.
And I believe that, he's probably got to be thinking right about now, I need to make sure that, I'm watching my back everywhere I go,
Yeah.
because I think he's got a target on him too.
Tucker Carlson, I'm sure, probably made some adjustments in his security. I was watching Megyn Kelly and Swamiswamy, what's his first name? I forget.
Back.
Vivek was on there because they were friends and they toured together. And he mentioned that, Charlie knew that this was an option because he had mentioned 3 or 4 years ago that things are getting so politically divided that it's going to come to political assassinations. And I remember watching an interview between Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson, where Candace flat out said, because of what she's going up against France, that, and kind of Morgan's point, she said, we're Christians and we believe, we understand that our life could potentially be at risk. Or, they could, heaven forbid, you're on a plane, you go to England and get arrested for some shit you said on the internet. But, she basically said, hey, we understand by saying what we say or doing the things we're doing that we're potentially putting our life at risk, and we accept that. And we know that if the worst thing happens, we'll be with God. So, but whoever, it's just insane to think that to go from a hypothetical situation like that to
Reality.
are.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just, you mentioned earlier about, is this going to be our eye-opening reset? And I don't think it
Just
is.
the warning.
I don't think it is. I think it can get worse, and it probably will. What scares me even more is what measures are going to be taken to try and prevent things like this from happening, and what could potentially happen to our freedoms and things like that.
And that's when things like this really put each of us and our convictions and what we believe in
Right.
to test. And here's what I mean by that. I was having a conversation earlier with somebody today after this, and they said, this is reason we need video cameras everywhere. Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. I don't care about surveillance. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not worried about being caught. And I said, yes. But even Thomas Jefferson said, those who are willing to risk liberty for security deserve neither. And we've said this, you know, every time a mass shooting comes out or something like this, a firearm was used. Starting tomorrow morning, or probably started 15 minutes ago on CNN, someone's discussing why we need gun control.
Right.
Why we need gun control. And what I love about that argument, which no one ever points out, I wish someone would bring me on the fucking news. What is the, and we've, for our old audience, this is going to be a fucking rerun. We've said it 100 times, but for the new audience, what is the most illegal thing you can do on this planet in 99.9% of the countries on this earth? What is the one most illegal thing you can do, regardless of what the government is?
Murder.
Kill somebody. Someone has made the decision they're going to do the most illegal thing in the world. You don't think they'll do 15 other illegal things to get to that step? So you can have all the gun laws. Okay. I'm a Gen Xer. I've been riding dirty since 1997 when it comes to certain extracurricular activities. In most of the states, that extracurricular activity is no longer illegal. There's been people who's been smoking crack for a long fucking time. There's been people who's been shooting up heroin for a long fucking time. Heroin, crack, marijuana, it's been illegal for a long fucking time. Does that mean people can't find heroin, crack, or marijuana? No, it's fucking everywhere. So my point being, having gun control laws isn't going to do anything except for get people put in jail who are concerned about getting put in jail. Or those people aren't just going to buy guns anymore to protect themselves. The people who don't care about breaking laws, just like the crackheads who found their crack, just like the 18-year-old high school kid who's driving drunk, even though it's illegal, even though the, you know, the people smoke weed, even though it's illegal, they're still going to do it. And I used to say, you know what
Well,
let me just finish this. I used to say in the 90s, you know what the most dang, you know what the most negative impact of smoking marijuana is? Getting caught, going to jail, potentially losing your job, having your car repossessed, repossession fees. If you had a good position at work, you're going to get fired. When's the last time you've seen somebody on Cops who's a deadhead getting arrested for domestic violence?
right.
It was always the boozies and the alcoholics. The most negative impact that came from smoking weed is you put on some weight, and if you got caught, the financial and social impacts and the negative impacts it had on you. So my point being is the
100%.
people who want to start talking about gun laws again, that's not going to prevent this shit from happening because this shit's already illegal.
Right.
Well, it really the conveyance doesn't matter. I mean, that the guy on the train in Charlotte, he didn't have a gun. That girl's just as dead because that guy was evil.
Right.
He had nefarious intent. It wouldn't have mattered. If he didn't have a knife, he would have beat her to death with his hands.
Or a baseball bat or a hammer. We're
Or he
seeing
would have
this in
ripped the
United
rail
Kingdom.
off of the
And I think back in 2013, they start having knife surrender drop boxes in the United Kingdom and having marches anti-knives. Why anti-knives? Because they didn't have any guns. And if you take away the knives, it'll be baseball bats. Take away the baseball bats, it'll be hammers and then croquet sticks. There's always going to be something that can be turned into a weapon. That's why they take away your shoestrings when you go to jail. right? They take away your belt, anything that can cause damage to you. If you're suicidal, they take away everything and give you the big canvas cloak because you can't tear it up and hang yourself with it. Anything can be made a weapon.
Well, ask somebody who's been in prison or call a prisoner. See how many weapons that they see confiscated all the time. See how many people that are in prison making shanks, that are in prison, making things that can, taking a battery and folding it up into a fucking playing card.
A with plastic a, toothbrush.
With a wire tie that you got off of, a loaf of bread or something like that, and turning it into a lighter and setting their fucking bunk on fire.
But hey,
it's not hard for people to figure out how to make a weapon to either defend themselves or to do damage to somebody. If they want it hard enough, they'll fucking figure out a way to do it.
But to all the ladies up there in prison who were making strap-ons out of bras and tampon applicators, we see you and we enjoy your ingenuity.
We salute you, ladies.
I actually have heard of my
wife was a genius.
A buddy of mine's wife was in jail or prison for a while, and he said they would take bras and tampon applicators and affix the straps. Like, that's fucking ingenious. Have at it, ladies.
Yeah, raise a toast to you.
Speaking of 9/11 and the real men and genius. Mike, I don't know if you listened to the radio. What do you remember what that was originally?
What?
Real men of genius.
Yeah, that was
fucking you, Piano Man, Budweiser, blah, blah. Do you remember what that was before 9/11? They changed it. It was originally Real American Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
Dad barbecuing on the weekends. But after 9/11, they changed it to Real Men of Genius because the hero, kind of like during during COVID, hero moniker was handed out to, the nurses and the people going to work. Well, after 9/11, heroes were, and rightfully so, that phrase was being used towards service, first responders. And so Budweiser changed Real Men American Hero to Real Men of Genius.
Little fun fact there for you.
Real quick, not that it matters. Greta Thunberg's her flotilla was not attacked by a drone. A crew member shot a bottle rocket and it caught a bag on fire. So that was a nice lie that they spread. They wanted you to think that she was being attacked by a drone. No, it was mishap with fireworks.
A drone that I'm sure our government shot at them.
So speaking of drones,
that's what we do on What's in Your Head. We clear the air.
We're consistently inconsistent. I don't know if I mentioned this before. Shout out to YouTube. They did something that even standard FCC won't do. Shit, dick, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. When I worked in radio, that George Carlin bit turned into legal documentation. When I worked in radio, I had to sign a piece of paper that said I would not say fuck, shit, dick, piss, cocksucker, motherfucker, and a few other selective on the radio, or I could personally be responsible for the fines. What does this have to do with YouTube? It took them 30 fucking years, but just beginning of this month, YouTube has removed cursing from the monetization restriction. It used to be don't cuss within the first 7 minutes of your video. Now you can open right up and say, fuck you, and it won't affect your monetization because YouTube finally realized that some of those old school, and probably to be fair to YouTube, a lot of the advertisers are saying, hey, we don't care if somebody cusses. And to that point, I'm starting to see homemade advertisements from like car lots and real estate companies where they're actively cussing in their promotions now. So the point being is finally YouTube has released their no cussing within the first X amount of minutes so that we can play advertising. That's gone now. So feel free to just let it rip.
Well, fucking
A. It has more holes. Look at that.
Nice.
Fancy.
Look at that. So, because these are waterproof. The problem we're having with the stickers that I make on my Cricut is they weren't very good with UV protection, and I tried getting a clear coat, and it's a whole thing. So I ordered these from Sticker Mule. These are the same people who made the old Digital 410 stickers that I would stick out at Starbucks, and it'd still be there 3 years later, not faded. But I'm also going to make some vinyl stickers And here in a few weeks, we're going to do a giveaway on Patreon. So head over to patreon.com, look for Digital 410 Media, or go to whatsinyourhead.com, click on a Patreon link, sign up and subscribe. Our cheapest plan is $1 a month. We have a middle plan that's $3.50 a month, and a higher deep pockets, deep arms plan at $7.50 a month. You sign up for that one after month number three, you'll get a free t-shirt of your liking from our shop, which, by the way, if you go to our website right now, the merch link has been taken down. Not because we don't have merch, but because the vendor sucks. I've been with, fuck it, I'll say it, I don't care. I've been with Teespring since 2018. And I have What's in Your Head shirts and What's the Scuttlebutt shirts that I've had printed back in 2018, 2019, 2020. The logo
is also still there. The same as Spring, too, because they changed their name. So
the logo's still there. They're great. They're relatively fit. The extra larges have kind of shrunk down to a large. And then I have What's the Scuttlebutt listeners who've bought shirts in the last 2 years where it looks like it's 20 years old. The mark, the logos have come off of them. But even worse than that, I just said that if you sign up for Patreon, I'll send you a shirt. I've had three people I've sent shirts to where Teespring didn't fulfill the order for 2.5 months. That comes back on us.
Yeah.
And when I reached out to them, they said it's because they were trying to grow and build vendors. Get new vendors. Well, those new vendors, their print quality sucks and shit fades. I had this sweatshirt made because winter's coming. What's the Scuttlebutt sweatshirt? This is an extra large. I haven't washed it yet. It's brand new. The thing fits like a fucking medium. Sweatshirts are supposed to be baggy.
Yeah.
I put on some weight, but not that much weight. I got extra large t-shirts that are 6 years old that still fit me. When my stomach's hanging out below this because it fits like a schmedium, as soon as I wash it, it will be a schmedium. So I'm just going to send it to Zach because he's the only one at Digital 410 who is a grown man who wears medium t-shirts. Don't know why. It's just the way God made him. So I just sent him 5-year-old What's the Scuttlebutt shirts that have shrunk down to larges and schmediums. But anyhow, I say all that to say this. I found a new vendor. They work just like Teespring where it's print to order. I'm going to order some samples, see what they look like. But with that being said, I'm going to reactivate the link here soon. I just got to recreate all those t-shirts manually over at the new vendor. And so hopefully they'll be a higher quality and the shit will last. And more importantly, they get orders filled in a reasonable amount of time. Because they are print order, they usually wait a week to see if maybe they get 4 or 5 in. So instead of printing off 2 shirts, they print off 10 or whatever, which I get. But no, when somebody orders something in June and they're getting in August, that's not acceptable.
Yeah.
So head over to whatsinyourhead.com, sign up, click on Patreon. It goes a long way to pay for the overhead. I will put a post on there once I get the other stickers made up, and we will give away some of these stickers here soon.
That's funny that you mentioned that too, because my t-shirt actually fades.
Yeah.
Is faded. And I got that 2 or 3 years ago now.
My OG, I got a blue shirt that says OG5. You can't see the OG5 anymore. You can barely make out the D410 on the back.
The shirts themselves
were great. The shirts themselves were fantastic.
Yeah, comfy.
Quality of the shirt, but the print sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And
I still have my SIBU. SIBU.
Suck It Up Buttercup shirt five years ago?
Yeah. The one that I got when I became a Patreon member before I...
Still holding up, ain't it?
Oh yeah, it's beautiful.
I got one that I work out on all the time. You can read it.
For those that don't know, I'm pretty sure Morgan is OG5.
Yeah, he's one of the I think he's OG number 4. But yeah. Now, and which is why I used Teespring for so long, and the new company that's like Teespring. The benefits of using Teespring is I didn't have to go out and buy a bulk bunch of t-shirts, have them sit in boxes in the house and try to sell them.
Right.
You gave Teespring the money, they would send me $3 and then they would mail you the shirt directly. So I had very little to do. I created the shirt, put the shirt out there. They made it. They shipped it. I got $3 in the mail. Getting rich off of t-shirts, let me tell you. And that's it. I have no desire to try to take out a line of credit to buy 1,000 pocket knives or 1,000.
Yeah, because let's
be out there trying to sell them out of my, you know, we'll be every episode. No, I get it, but
getting the free shit.
No, I get it, but that point, it would be every episode. Hey, buy our shirts.
Yeah, let's face it. They're still taking their $20 for the fucking t-shirt, and you're still only making $3 to $5 because most t-shirts are usually about $25, something that, has a logo or something like that on it.
That's the
Yeah,
thing. Teespring was like,
we don't make much.
well, Teespring, to that point, Teespring's like, hey, sell the shirt for $35, you'll make $10. I was like, I won't buy a
Who's
$35.
buying a shirt for $35?
Not this guy,
Gosh,
which is why
I
we were
wish I
selling
had
them for
$35 to buy
$23.
one t-shirt.
See, that's the thing. That's what you get over here. You get three guys, and even on the other on the other channel or podcast, you get average, normal, everyday fucking dudes that are still out here grinding like everybody that listens and watches.
Yeah.
We're just like everybody else.
That made me a
I think
horrible
I
business
have.
person. That's why my business went out of business, because like I can afford to pay that. How am I gonna ask someone
Right,
to pay that?
right. That's I was never
I've
good at
got a
sales because of that.
$35 t-shirt,
Right.
and I got it. It's a concert t-shirt, and you know where it is? It's hanging in my closet because I won't wear it because I can't bring myself to wear a $35 t-shirt.
But even that's an experience though, right? You paid the market because you bought it at a concert. But yeah, it's like, no, I wouldn't buy a $35 t-shirt. So I'm not going to ask you to. I sell you a $22 t-shirt plus $5 shipping and handling. But if you listen, I tell you to use promo codes like Pogebait or I Listen, and that'll save you $5. So now I'm getting even less money because I'm trying to
Right.
get you this deal. My intention is for you to wear the shirt, not to make money off of it.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
And while you're out there, head over to youtube.com, look for D410 Media, and also look for Poles and Paddles. Like, subscribe, and share us with a friend.
Please.
We're gonna
Will
end
too.
the show. We're getting there. We're gonna end the show on a upbeat.
Happy. Happy times.
I called a poor unsuspecting Mike last weekend. Or was it the weekend before? Labor Day.
Oh yeah, Labor Day
Called
weekend.
him on Saturday on Labor Day. I said, "You work Monday?" "Nope." "You want to come work out with me on Sunday night?"
Sure.
And he did.
I did, like a fucking man would.
Good
Be a
job,
man.
Mike. Woo-hoo!
Work out in your garage. Be a man. No, I've been working out and I've been buying more stuff and I've been working out, but it occurred to me that I don't know if this shit's hard, right? Because I'm the one doing it. No one's programming my workout. So it's like, I'm like, is this beneficial? What's the level of difficulty? Is this, easy or whatever? And I was like, it'd be interesting to have someone come over here and do it. And so I offered Mike to come over. And lo and behold, I'm not lying, we worked out for 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Right on.
And
The most I had done in years.
we weren't just doing treadmill work. And I offered him to, hey, call your out. Now, a little context, we did functional fitness, or as I like to call, poor man's CrossFit. And so here's what the workout consisted of, not in this particular order. I just recently got a plyometric box. It's a four-dimensional box, all made out of plywood. It's supported. You set it up one way,
You
it's
say
30 inches.
four-dimensional?
Yeah, it's four-dimensional, goes into space. It's four-sided. There's no open sides on it. You can set up how you want. You set up one direction, it's 20 inches tall. The other direction is 24 inches tall, and the other direction is 30 inches tall. So, and we're doing step overs on them where you step up, over, and then down the dose 10 times. Then we would do that. Then we'd go do French curls with 50 pounds or whatever. And then when we'd get 10-pound kettlebells, do fireman carries up and over. Then we would do standing supplementation curls with 25 pounds. Then we would Mike put on my 20-pound ruck. I put on my 20-pound plate carrier. We did a quarter-mile walk around the neighborhood, did some more weightlifting, 30-pound sandbag. We carried that for a half a mile, passing back and forth. Then we upped that to 50 pounds. We did that for a half a mile. I just recently got a 35-pound kettlebell. We were doing clean and jerks with those. We were doing overhead tricep curls with 10-pound kettlebells and 10-pound weights. I got some 15-pound dumbbells. So the point being is we're doing a mix of lifting weights, stepping over boxes, and carrying heavy shit for long distances. And Mike fucking, he, you know, he He held up. You
That's
know,
just my stubbornness.
and so shout out to him. He did it. He didn't complain. And you know, I kept saying, "You want to go the short route or the long route?" And we did it, and we had a good time. And it definitely did two things. It reinforced the thing that I've been realizing for a while, but it was definitely reinforced after my 20K. I used to work out at the gym, and I used to run with run groups. Now I do it all by myself. When Mike came over, I did the same routine. Actually, I doubled it, and we went an hour and a half. I'm here by myself. I do 35 to 45 minutes just because the motivation's not there.
Yeah.
Having somebody do the shit with you, it motivates you. It makes it a hell of a lot easier, not physically, but motivation-wise. And something I usually struggle to get 45 minutes in.
Well,
We did almost an hour and 45 minutes. Well, actually, 145 minutes.
I think the mental part of it too, because it's, you know, I think we even talked about that night was, you know, when you have someone that you're working with, you're also kind of working against in a sense, you know, competitively, and things all of a sudden you when you look back at it, you go, well, you know, I do 30 to 45 minutes of this by myself, and you know, I'm kind of beat up and tired and quit, but we went for an hour and a half, and it was like that 30 to 45 minute, yeah, it was hard, but it wasn't that hard, you know,
What
like,
impressed me the most is the incline push-ups. I know push-ups are hard for people, and I really thought Mike would do, because I have a step up in my garage, but then
four inch
I got
pad.
a 4-inch step up, but then I have a Lowe's bucket full of 70 pounds worth of chipped marble. Well, not marble, but the white rocks you put around like your flower bed and shit, and with a lid on it. And so we're doing sets of 10 incline push-ups. I did mine up on the bucket, and I slid it over thinking that Mike would do it on the 4-inch. No, he did it on the bucket too, and he matched me. And I've been doing those for years. And so I was impressed with the fact that, and we didn't start out the push-ups. We were well into the arm strain by the time we got to the push-ups.
There were some things that I definitely, you know, I cut back on because I knew, I mean, you are more active than I am.
And that's what I told you too.
But
Like, don't, you know, I'm going to do this 35 pound dumbbell, but feel free to do the 15, because you
which
don't,
I
there's no reason to blow your back out trying to improve them up.
which I did. I cut back on some of the weight because I knew I just didn't have that same strength like you did, and that
Well,
same,
it'd be
you know,
irresponsible for you
repetition.
to come in there and try to match my weight when you haven't done
Right.
it.
Right.
So yeah, he, you know, he chose his, but for he chose his own adventure, but more importantly, he put the time in. And
Right.
a lot of times that's the hardest part. I've been watching this influencer. He does CrossFit. He started this clothing company called Hustle, and recently him and his wife put out an app called Everyday Cardio, and I signed up for it, and I did one the other day. Program was 12 minutes long, no weights involved. It was no push-up burpees, so you would get down, stand up, get down, stand, do up 10 reps, and then go to air squats, no weights, just squat. Do 10 of those and then get down, do a push-up, one push-up, lift your hand off the ground, do a push-up, lift your hand off the ground, do 10 of those, repeat that for 12 minutes. I was only able to do that for five fucking times, and I was dying. Just those three simple steps, I was dying. And I will tell you, if you're in our audience and you're in your 40s and 50s, or even getting older, they tell you as you're getting older, even if you don't work out, do the stretching and functions that require that you require to sit on a toilet, sit in a bathtub, and get yourself off the floor. Start practicing those now. Don't be embarrassed, i.e. squats, some sort of lifting yourself off the floor, and sitting on the floor and getting up, because those are the three movements that you need as you get into your older years to live independently. You can be smart as hell, but if you can't pick yourself off the floor, sit on a toilet, and sit in a bathtub to bathe yourself, you will quickly end up in a nursing home. So as you get older, those are the, at bare minimum, those are the three movements you really need to practice.
Are you directing that
I'm directing that at
at me?
I'm directing that at
being the
everybody.
elder statesman.
And it makes perfect sense. I mean, how many times have you heard, you've seen that, like the 70-year-old who is in shape and then they fall and break their hip? And then you see them again, they look like they've aged 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More often than not, they pass out, they pass away a year later because that movement just. So, yeah. So, shout out to Mike for busting his ass.
Good job, Mike.
I'm
Thanks,
probably going to
fellas.
go out and work out tonight and do another daily cardio because I got a shout out on fucking a YouTube channel. That was surprising.
That was dope.
This guy's a pro CrossFitter and he's in the United Kingdom. And like I said, I downloaded his app and I did that one event and I put a picture on there, my profile picture. This is before the shooting today. I'm listening to it at work. And he's like, shout out to a Donovan 410 IT guy. He's the first person to put a picture on there. He's like, I see what this guy look like. And he said, I look like a fucking tank. So there you go.
Ah, nice.
It was a picture of me. I think it was after my adventure race. It was me with my casking shirt on with my two medals on. It was after my adventure race I did.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
But
now
you definitely
I'm
look like a
gonna work out
fucking
again and
machine.
check in another one.
Yeah, you definitely look like a fucking machine.
But yeah, so that was cool. And then I was flying on that fucking boosted adrenaline. The Morgan's like, hey, did you see Charlie? Oh. That's when
Act
the
Back to
man, sorry to
reality.
be a buzzkill. That's when everything came into there. So yeah.
Yeah.
And that's gonna wrap it up for this episode of the What's in Your Head podcast. We already put all the links out there before, but anyhow, head over to whatsinyourhead.com. Send us an email, info@d-410.com. We need to make a What's in Your Head email address, or email us through our Facebook page or through our social media pages directly. If you go to whatsinyourhead.com, click on the About Us, you will find the links to mine, Mike's, and Morgan's social media pages, and you can reach out to us there. Anyhow, until next time, we'll talk to you all in 2 weeks.
This has been a Digital 410 production.